Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But then he said to them, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
There's a lot going on in this passage. And one of the things is about the fragility of life. We try to plan for the future, but we never know what will happen. Before we look at the text in detail, I want us to take a moment of silence to remember those who died in the two mass shootings last night. Two mass shootings. I woke up this morning to news reports of not one, but two mass shootings. One in El Paso, Texas at a Walmart, and another in Dayton, Ohio, I think at some kind of nightclub. And I haven't read the news reports as the day has gone on, as more information comes out.
But this was a white supremacist thing. I don't know about the end.
And these horrific tragedies should outrage us and should call us to action. We might disagree on what that action looks like. Better gun control laws. Somehow creating more civility in our society. Better social fabric. But it's clear that we cannot keep doing what we are doing and chalking this up to the cost of modern living. The 251st mass shooting this year. And so as we think about how quickly lives can be taken, let us take a moment of silence to honor their lives and to ponder how God is calling us to live in light of two more horrific events. I'm not going to preach about gun control or shootings tonight, but I do want us to talk about what matters in life. When life can be taken away so suddenly, thriving one moment and gone the next, and what really matters. I think that's what this text is about. The setup is simple. A man comes to Jesus asking him to tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. The land has been left to them as a joint family enterprise. And the one son wants to take his fair share and do what he will with it. But in the process, divide the family and divide the gift. And so Jesus tells this parable about a rich man whose land produced more crops than he could store. and realize once again, it's not so much the fruit of his labors, it's the fruit of the land.
What should I do?
He asks himself. Build bigger barns. There I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Do you know how the rest of that phrase usually goes?
Well, tomorrow we should die.
Yeah.
And Jesus' audience would have heard that too.
Yeah.
He will never get to enjoy the things that he has stored up. This text basically preaches itself. It's such an obvious message that we know from our own experience, too. How many people have you seen devote themselves to a task and then they retire and they die? Or you create this beautiful home and then there's a hurricane and it's destroyed, right? The fragility of life and earthly possessions. A less tragic example, I don't know if you've ever played Settlers of Catan, and you scheme and scheme about where should I build the roads and the different settlements and cities, you know, so that you can win the game. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the game, you're interrupted and your guests have to leave, and the game is finished and the pieces go back in the box, and none of it mattered. What matters in that game's world is different than what matters in our world. And Jesus is saying here that what ultimately matters is not our earthly possessions, and so often not the things that we worry about. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possession, but instead in being rich toward God. And that's where I think this passage gets interesting. Because we all, I think, intuitively get, oh, yeah, the things that I tend to pay attention to are, like, not the most important things. But what does it mean to be rich toward God? It's a funny expression that I don't use in day-to-day speech. Maybe you do. To be rich toward something, maybe rich toward, I don't know, your offspring or your some kind of organization that you give money to. It's not a turn of phrase that I use often. But its pairing with the building of barns tends to make us think about investment, right? Where do we put our time and our money and our energy? What are we building towards? And so I think there's a real temptation here to read rich toward God as simply substituting the object of our attention and our energy and what we're building toward, right? So instead of working more hours at work, we spend more hours in prayer or Bible study or some kind of spiritual endeavor. Or we think about when we serve our neighbors, maybe God will notice and we'll get an extra little point on the gigantic karma board, you know? But that's not what being rich toward God is about. Because God's economy is different than the human economy. This is a classical theme in Christian theology. The word economy comes from the word oikos, the whole inhabited earth. And thinking about how does God relate to this earth? What is the divine human economy? How is it that we are in relationship with God? What does that relationship look like? And the point that Christian theologians have come to again and again and again is that in that divine human economy, everything is a gift from God. When we shared the bread with each other this evening, we said, this is God's gift for you. It's a microcosm of the gift of life that we've received from God, created by God, animated by her breath, saved from our sinful, misguided ways by the grace of Jesus Christ.
guided and sustained by the Holy Spirit. Jesus' presence with us always, always animating our lives, our spirits. All of this is a gift, pure gift. And being rich toward God is about receiving that gift, receiving it with grace, and then sharing it. Because in the divine economy, those gifts are not things that diminish as we share them. Love is not something that is depleted the more it flows out from us. It flows out from God, and it overflows out and from us in service to our neighbors, in love, in prayer, in hope. Our reading from Colossians, the first reading, it talks about greed as idolatry, and it also talks about the image of this gift from God as a kind of garment or cloth, shedding the old clothing and putting on new clothing through baptism with Christ, so that Christ is all and in all. And then Paul talks about the different divisions that were present in the society then. Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. And think about the divisions that are part of our society today. And the idea of those being part of the old self. Things that are washed away as we are clothed with Christ himself. Our new selves being one in Christ. That renewal, that new clothing, that change to our nature is a pure gift from God. We didn't get it because we finally read the Bible cover to cover. We didn't get it because we came to church regularly enough. We didn't get it because we gave enough money to the poor. We got it solely because of God's love for us. Our richness toward God, the Bible uses this metaphor often, is our inheritance. Something given to us like the man who comes to Jesus at the beginning of this passage. An inheritance, not something that we did to earn, but something that we were born and reborn into. A gift for us to share. A gift for us to share with all people. Freed for service, for working for justice, for standing up in the face of impossible situations. Times when you feel like there is nothing that you can do to change the outcome of world events. Courage to continue testifying to God's love and to the nature of all life as a gift to be protected, to be honored, to be shared.